and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're going to talk about cars this hour. And we have lots of experience here. We have pilots, co-pilots, and we have actually the mechanic here today for the cars. So if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, except for Michael. We're going to get to him in a minute. But first, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. Kurtz can work on domestic, imports, European, gas, diesel. And the best thing about Kurtz is he'll tell you when he's not the best, and then he'll refer you to somebody who's better than him. None of us can work on every car on the road, but what you don't want is somebody inexperienced working on your car without telling you. Kurtz has been open since 1992. They've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. I-17 and Bell. If you live anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a garage and you're looking for a good one, then I strongly recommend you try Kurtz Auto Repair. A little business real quick here. We're looking for Tempe High School graduates from 1972. Your 40th anniversary will be held Friday and Saturday, October 19th and 20th. If you're a Tempe High graduate from 1972, or you're married to a Tempe High graduate from 1972, or if you just want to come to the anniversary in October 19th and 20th, get a hold of me, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. All righty, we've got Dan and Rob from S&S Tire here. Good morning to you.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. And it's going to be hard to do, but Dan's on my left and Rob's on my right. That makes it easier for folks to picture this. S&S Tire has three locations. They have Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. And Dan, when it comes to responsibilities, give me the range of responsibilities that you have.
Well, when
depending on who I'm asking,
yeah, that's right. It's when your name is on the door that you walk through every day. It really doesn't matter what needs to be done. You, Dad raised us as having to learn how to clean the restrooms first, and once we were really good at that, we could mop the office floors and move our way up to changing tires and so forth. So
you're real good with that little bitty dustpan and the broom.
Yes, sir.
I'm really good with that, and so are all my kids. But really, from trash cans and bathrooms up and down, but if I ask your dad, Bob, Dan is responsible for what? What would he say?
My title is sales manager, and I travel between the stores, helping the sales force, doing training, as well as working behind the counter and helping customers and.
Okay. All right. So you can be seen at any one of the stores.
Yes, sir.
So most of the time, you're going to be at one of the three no matter what. Okay. Right now, tires is very competitive, not very competitive. It's
what very, is it? Very competitive market out there right now.
Okay. And is there any, and you are a distributor for Michelin?
Michelin, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, Hankook.
Okay.
GT. And then we deal with, as well as Yokohama, and then we have small tires that we do a lot of, Carlisle, Greenball, okay. So forth.
And those are, do you have quad tires for the guys with quads?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Golf cart tires?
Lots of golf cart tires.
Wheelbarrow tires?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. What's the weirdest, do you have tires for my Bobcat?
We do have Bobcat tires.
Okay. Those are, now, do you have the ability to foam any forklift tires or Bobcat tires?
If we can, we can foam fill them. We also deal with a product called Ameritire that is a neoprene product, and they don't have a full line of tires, but they make anything from a dolly tire for your hand truck to bicycle tires to mower tires.
Now I've got a cart at the ranch, and I haul it behind my quad. And it's got two wheelbarrow tires on it. And I've already drilled the hubs on the wheelbarrow tires and put greaserts in there, I can't keep, nothing will keep the tire from deflating. Nothing. If I bring it to you and put foam in it, is the foam ever going to dent, or is it going to be pretty firm throughout its life? Am I going to feel a vibration the first time I hit a rock doing 10 miles an hour?
Well, you will. The foam is a permanent solution to your problem, but it does. You will wear the tire out before you were ever issues.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. So, what do you foam mostly? Construction equipment?
Yeah. When you have six or seven guys standing around a wheelbarrow. You're paying $10 an hour, you really can't afford to have a flat tire on that wheelbarrow.
Okay.
So anything from wheelbarrow tires up to lawn and garden or Bobcat-type tires, you just really can't afford to have downtime.
Forklifts, boom lifts, high lifts, all the stuff that's on a construction site that would really cost you money. Now, obviously a big, I have a backhoe, I've got a case backhoe, so the back tires I probably wouldn't want to foam.
Probably not cost efficient.
So round figures, I walk in with my wheelbarrow tire. Now, do all three stores foam?
All three stores have the ability to get that handled, yes.
Okay. So I drop it off and give me a range of what I'm going to pay, as much as?
Probably $25 to $35 for an average size wheelbarrow tire.
Okay. All right. Rob, what do you do? Dan says nothing.
Well, Dan can say anything he wants. I sign his check. So,
you know what the difference between Democrats and Republicans are?
I think this is going to get us in trouble.
Republicans sign the front and Democrats sign the back. So does that say anything about Dan, your brother?
Well, he signs the back of his check, but I don't think he's a Democrat for some reason.
Your dad's just flipping out right now.
I'm sure he is. He's getting a good chuckle out of this.
All right. So your title, your dad would say your title is?
I'm the general manager. And as Dan mentioned, that means we do just about everything that needs to be done. If we walk into a store and a bathroom's dirty, we'll grab the cleaning supplies and get the job done. That's not what we're there for, but obviously our father has raised us to be very customer-driven, and it's important to us that we portray a positive image to anybody that walks through our door.
Okay. With respect to business and stuff like that, do you have any kids that are poised to be in the business?
We do. My two sons are in the business, and so there's three generations of Slagles involved in S&S Tire Company. And Danny's children aren't old enough yet, although they come down to the store and, they're mm-hmm. getting their feet wet, so to speak.
You ride around with a forklift and stuff like that?
No.
I do.
That's my job. I'll grab Dan's son. His name's Jake, and we'll ride around the forklift
exactly.
and get a kick out of that.
Exactly. And quads. We have quads at our location. We use the four-wheel drive Hondas to haul cars in and out. And we just put a big nylon strap, and we got a J-hook off of a tow truck, which works perfectly. There, you don't have 15 guys out there pushing on the trunk of a car. You got two guys, one driving the quad and one. Well, when the grandkids come, the quad's gone. And we also have a battery attached to it for jump start. But it just minimizes, because you get five guys out in the parking lot. It's in the summertime. What's the first thing that happens that cancels the routine of pushing the car in? They need a fender cover because the metal's too hot, right?
Right.
So this just helps it out getting the car in there. We don't ever push them because we cause too much damage by pushing them. So no matter how many tires you put on the front of that quad, you're going to hurt something as you're pushing that car. But dragging it with the J-hook is the answer. So, all right, we're going to take a quick call here. Michael, thank you for holding as long as you have. Michael, how is it we can help you?
Mark, I'm calling today about an air condition problem on a 2002 Chrysler Town & Country with dual air.
Okay.
I had a new compressor put in about a month ago, and that didn't solve my problem. But what we have, we've read your facts, and we believe we have an evaporator problem. When we get in the car, a lot of times it won't get below 50 degrees. And we turn it on max, it'll get down to 40. But it also doesn't have any condensation coming out.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. are you giving me temperatures off the front vents or the back vents?
Off the front vents.
And on the dual AC, is that the one that's substandard right now?
No, it's the front vents that are substandard.
Okay, but 40 and 55 are I mean, over the last 20 days, 40 and 55 is exceptional. I don't want to measure the effectiveness of your AC unit based on condensation coming out.
Okay.
I tell you what, when condensation, when the humidity gets above 30 or 40 or 50, especially 50, then we're going to see lots of moisture. But the condensation means that you're freezing up your evaporator, and then it's going to go into defrost mode, which gives you a little bit of warm air, and that's really not what you want. So that's why I ask people, and you, if you read the facts, I want you to run your speeds on your air conditioning unit like 3 or 4. I want you to avoid the 1 and 2, because if I have an ice cube in my hand and I want to melt it fast, do I blow real hard or do I whisper across the ice cube?
You want to blow real hard.
Right. That's exactly why we want to turn that fan up. And if you get too cold, because, you know, in every marriage, Dan, you the hot one or the cold one between the two of you?
Cold one.
Go.
I'll be the cold one.
Yeah. And how about you?
Same.
Same? So us guys, we want it cold or we're cold. But the women are just the opposite. No matter what it is, we all just pick. But if my wife's too cold, then I tell her to roll her window down a little bit to mix some warm air with the cold. Likewise, if I get somebody who's loves 40 degrees and I don't like 40 degrees, then I'll roll my window down and mix a little air. But if you've got 40 and 55, here's what I want you to do. Is I want you to get on a road for 45 miles an hour, and I want you to keep the tachometer somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 RPM. I want you to be in maximum recirculatory, more maximum. I want you to have your fan speed on 2 or 3, and whatever that is, that's good. As long as it's below 55, and the rear should be the same. So I don't know that you're in bad shape right now. Okay, Michael?
Okay. Thanks for your help.
You betcha. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and if you have a car question, I've had some interesting car questions, and one of the questions I had the other day, which I've never had before, is it
30
says,
seconds.
Mark, if you're going to hold up $5,000 if the guys, if you have to pay one of their bills and they don't, how much do you charge them to be on your website? And I thought that's a very, very good question. So when we come back, I'll answer that question for you, and I'll tell you what those circumstances are. But in our sense, we just charge the shop. Visiting our site is free at marksalem.com. We'll be right back, 508-0960.
Hello. Up under my hood, he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small. Those spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main prog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and I've got Dan and Rob from SNS Tire as my co-pilots and pilots today. But I want to talk about Thompson's Auto Repair. Thompson's Auto Repair is on Stapley in Mesa. They're just east of Stapley on the south side of the road from Stapley in Maine. They've been in business since 1970. It's another family operation. Like S&S Tire, it's family. So Brian and Thelma are the second generations of Thompsons that have been in Mesa. And they've been around for a long time. Like I said, 1970. So what's that, 30, 40, 42 years? He's a AAA approved shop. He's an ASC certified Blue Seal shop. And he's on a TechNet council for CarQuest that helps determine industry standards. He also, Brian, Thelma, and Thompson's Auto Repair were considered the best business by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce in 2009. So if you're in that area, Stapley and Main Street in Mesa, then Thompson's would be a really great place for you to stop and shop. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Morning, guys. I have a 94 Chevy pickup, and I bought a set of Michelin 31 by 10.5 R15s. You know, they were the light truck tires.
Uh-huh.
And they lasted over 115,000 miles.
Well, what do you got to say about it? You guys sell terrible tires anyway, and this is another example of an unhappy customer.
I know. You know, we get that comment a lot. I would say that that's probably a little bit unusual, but we have had people come in and say 80, 90, 100,000 miles. It just is a tribute to Bob and how he's taken care of his vehicle. Obviously, to get a set of tires to last that long, you got to rotate them and maintain the vehicle. So he must have done all of those things, and it pays him in the end with a long-lasting set of tires.
Now, in that $100,000, how many years is that over?
I bought them in February of 2002. And I blew, because I will admit I did blow them out finally, and they refused to rotate them the last 10,000 miles because they did have torque cracks. So I wouldn't recommend it, you know, to the soccer moms.
Hey, you got your money out of them tires. Don't complain. I mean, if you told us that your wife was taking all the kids to church on Sunday morning, we'd be booing you. But if you're right. The only butt that sits behind the wheel, that's okay. You just call yourself Fred Flintstone. Remember, he used to drive his tires until the rock was gone.
That's
All righty. So let me ask you a question. So on your 94 truck, is it a half ton or three quarter?
It's a half ton.
And what tire inflation did you stay on?
I kept them about 48. I overinflated them all the time. And I know that was really too much tire for the truck, right? I mean...
No, not really. Depends on what you're hauling, of course, but...
I just drove it around like a car. I didn't really carry anything. Okay. So that was probably another reason. I never had any weight in the truck.
All right. Did you wear the centers off of them?
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
Because you said you overinflated them, and typically that means that you're wearing the centers a lot more than the outside. So, well, you know, I have the same thing. When people come over, sometimes it's kind of nice because I can say, if you want to know what kind of tire I like the best, just go out and look see. And first of all, I've been married 38 years, and I love my wife. But go look at what we've got on her tires, on her car, and Michelin, and the motorhome, Michelin. So it's a good tire. All righty. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Thanks. That's very kind of you to call in. Mike, you're up next. Mike, how can we help you today?
Hey, guys. I have an 03 Hyundai Sonata six-cylinder. And at the stoplight, it really vibrates a lot. So when I move it into neutral, it stops vibrating as smooth as silk.
Okay. Here's vibrations. You guys with tires are vibration kings, right?
That's usually the first thing someone thinks of is if my car's got a vibration, it's the tires.
And I heard one of your guys say when I was over at your Goodyear store, he said to a customer, is this vibration related to the speed of the car? And I thought that was a really important question because that answers it. If it's tires or drive shaft or something like that, then the faster you go, the worse it gets. But if it's engine like this gentleman, Mike is talking about, Mike, you have a bad engine mount, and here's how you're going to verify that and save yourself $50, $60 worth of diagnostic time. After you drive it for a while and it's vibrating in drive, I want you to stop and it'll be vibrating in drive. Then I want you to put it in neutral and you said the vibration goes away. Now I want you to go to reverse. What I'm doing is I'm taking your motor and I'm leaning it one way in drive and I'm going to roll it over on the other mount on reverse. If you don't have any vibration from that motor in reverse or neutral but it comes back in drive, it's because the back firewall motor mount is bad. It's collapsed. So it's metal to metal, so to speak. The big rubber pillow is gone. The hardest part you're going to have is are you going to do all the mounts? How many miles does your 03 Hyundai have on it?
Those motor mounts have 245,000 on them.
I'd probably do all four.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like if you had a horse and you put shoes on 3 feet and you didn't put a shoe on the fourth foot,
right.
he's going to walk like he's been at a bar. So in your case, you don't want to put the brand new mount on that backside because that transverse motor is going to rock to the firewall in drive. And so I do all the mounts. Now, this is not something you're generally going to bid because when you call a shop and say, how much for four motor mounts for my Hyundai, it's going to take us a half an hour to look up the labor. We'll need the VIN number. Then you'll have to give us lots of information about the car and to look up all four mounts. This is going to be one of those things where you go to one place and you get a bid. Maybe you do it during an oil change because that's certainly fair game. Just while you have my oil change, would you give me a price for all four mounts? And then from that, you just say four mounts, Hyundai, call a couple shops. Is that a fair price? Does that sound like in the range? Somebody might say, no, I can beat it by $200. Or somebody may say, no, that's real fair. But at least that's an easy way to do it. Okay?
Good. Great. Thank you.
All right,
thank you very much.
You bet. 602-508-0960 if you have a call, if you have a question. I was going to answer that question for you about our thing. Based on what you pay annually, how many years would I have to collect dues from one S&S tire store to make up $5,000?
7 years.
Right. because it's $750.
Right.
So 7 times 7 is $4,900. So the idea is that I'm not charging anybody for the risk. But the beautiful part is there is no risk because everybody behaves themselves. And I know that you guys, I'm really pleased and blessed because of your organization with 3 stores. And as big as you guys are, it's nice to have just you guys to get the email. So if somebody says something, and they usually start off with, because I don't take nasty complaints. If they start off with the shop owner is a big da-da-da and it's bad language, I say to them, once you calm down and once you want to talk about this in a civil manner, then what I really need from you is just what happened and what's wrong and what do you want? Those 3 questions. What happened, what's wrong, and what do you want? But with you guys, I remember once or twice over the last 4, 5, 6 years where somebody had a question, I emailed you guys a question, and then the next thing I know, it's all handled.
Most of our issues that arise come from communication or lack thereof with the customer.
I agree.
And usually if you can clarify something with that customer, everything is pretty much solved. And so it boils down to communication almost every time.
You know, Dan, nobody's immune to complaints. Neither am I.
30 seconds.
But when I get a complaint, one of the things I ask is do I really want to keep them? Because if it's a $25 issue and I really want to keep them and they've been a long-time customer, I don't care who's right or who's wrong. If it's $2,500, I may take a look at that one. But a lot of business owners have decided that's what they're going to do. Forget about who's right or who's wrong. The real question is if you've been a big pain in my butt and is this a constant occurrence or do I really want to keep you? 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, we're right here.
D&B Auto Repair.
Well, you can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month, like you do your rent.
Like you do your rent. Mark Salem, Dan Schlegel, Rod Schlegel, those 2 Schlegel boys are from S&S Tire, and we're here talking about car and car repair, 602-508-0960. You guys do big truck tires too, right?
We do.
Okay. And on the big truck tires, how long are those guys getting out of some of the quality tires? Any idea?
Dan, go ahead, take that.
Hundreds of thousands of miles.
And it has to be because they're just going straight, right?
Yeah.
There's no turning left,
all
no turning right.
Miles.
All highway miles.
The other thing you got to remember is when it makes one revolution, it goes probably 10 feet as opposed to a car tire goes about maybe 2.5. So
okay.
The tire's only touching the ground every 10 feet.
You're right about that. All right, which one of you is better in math?
Rob?
Okay.
Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this.
Okay,
for
no, wait a minute. Because I do this as an automotive expert, if the tire has a height, what's the height of a 22.5? 30 inches?
I'm going to guess it's 36.
Okay, 36. Let's go 30 because the math will be easier.
Okay.
All right. How do you figure the circumference of that?
Is it pi r squared?
Yep. It's 3.14 times your 30. So in your case, it would be somewhere around 90 inches or 100 inches or something. My son gave me a mathematical equation the other day that you take the tire size, 235, 75, 15. You take the tire size, the 235 times 2 divided by 25 times the rim, the sidewall times the wheel size gives you the diameter, and in every single case it's perfect. But it's a sophisticated one. I had to write it down and put it in my computer because we're doing that a lot. We do lots of upsizing of tires, and we're giving them the sticker I was telling you about where we're actually putting an alternative door sticker on their tag. So if you ever need us to do that for you, then send them over here. We'll do it for free.
Great.
But the idea is we're going to give them a different inflation number and a different load. So the truck will need the gross vehicle weight, but that's right there on the sticker. But what's not
John
on the sticker
is
the combined weight, and we have to go into the glove box for that. Good morning, John. How can I help you today? Hi, John. John, are you there? John.
Well, he was there. I'll keep going.
It's no big deal. 602-508-0960. We have open lines available. What tires are on your wife's car? Dan?
She's riding on Hankook tires
now. Okay, all right. And your kids don't drive yet?
No, they do not.
Okay. But when I ask your brother what tires are on his kid's car. If they're anywhere near 16, it's the cheapest brand you got because they're going to be kissing curbs and mm-hmm. running over stuff. So, Rob,
yes, sir.
are they Michelins or are they something a little less money?
On the wife's car?
Uh-huh.
We usually use BF Goodrich.
Okay.
It's a Michelin actually owns BF Goodrich. Some people don't know that, but
okay.
Good quality tire, American, usually American made.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the Michelins for myself. Typically run a lot of miles in a short period of time. So
John is back.
And you know what I like about Michelin is for whatever reason, it seems like it has the sturdiest sidewall of most passenger car tires. I don't know why that is, and I'm not an expert in the construction of tires, but it just seems to me. Another thing I think might have something to do with it is I keep most of our tires inflated on the top end of what's normal. And I think it's easier for my wife to bounce off curbs as opposed to crushing the tire and the wheel by hitting a curb. Of course, I've never done that in my life, so you can understand why I bring that up right now. John, welcome back, buddy. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I muted my phone.
That's okay.
Okay, I got a 14-volt GM rear end off a 78 truck. I got it on a bench when I'm rebuilding it. And I read the book on it. I got it at the library. It said put 50 pounds of pressure on the axles when you tighten up the bolt on the pinion gear. And then it's supposed to turn at 25 to 35 pounds, inch pounds. And I'm wondering the way I want to put the pressure on the axles. I got it all tied down on a big table. Just put a leather strap around the axle and then use a fishing like the spring loaded fishing gauge where you can measure weight.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
Well, that's kind of a Fred Flintstone way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Can I make a suggestion to you?
Sure.
You got the differential out, right? Or are you doing
it? Yeah, I got it on a bench.
Okay.
I bought a rebuildable core at the junkyard
okay.
so I can experiment with it.
Okay. It is really, really important to have somebody set that up right or you're going to wipe out the ring and pinion. And it is absolutely critical for you to understand that as you move that ring and pinion left and right, with those two carrier bearings and with the adjustments, you mm-hmm. have to know where to be each time. Otherwise,
30 seconds.
If you hit something really hard on the left, it may go too far left, and then you may have to bring it back right just a little bit. But you have to continually...
Oh, you're talking about setting the backlash on between the ring and pinion, right?
Yeah.
And that has to be shimmed. And so what's the proper way to put the 50 pounds of pressure on the axle? I got the axle tied down so it's stable.
Okay.
And I just need to put 50 pounds of pressure on the rear wheel.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to answer your question, but right now I got to take a quick break, and I'm sorry. 602-508-0960 for anybody else. We'll be right back.